Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, you've heard the congregation speak already and say, I do. This is our heart's desire. This is my desire. And Lord, I want you to work another miracle yet today. That you would gift me to present the information that you want or have for us on the shaking, so that it will draw us closer to you, and that we will only hear you and see Jesus. So send the Spirit so that this is possible, so that as we depart, we will not be the same people as we came. So open our hearts and minds, Lord, all of us, and guide my mind to present this according to your will, so that we can give you the praise and honor and glory. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's review, especially if you're a visitor, you're in the middle of a series on the shaking. And I want to try to bring you up to speed by reviewing the part one and part two of the series, and today I have part three. Please notice that it says on the screen, I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen and was shown that it will be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness to the Laodiceans. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver and will lead him to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it, and this is what will cause the shaking among God's people. If you'll remember in part one, entitled Why the Shaking, we discovered that throughout biblical history, actually the history of the world, at various times God has shaken the church one way or another for the purpose of purifying the church so that it can be prepared for what's coming next. And I won't give you an example. This is part one. But we discovered that this last shaking, which I'm referring to, not only is to purify and prepare the church for what's coming next, but it's preparing the church for what? The latter rain, which is the final outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which will wrap everything up. That was part one. Part two was called, Who Does the Shaking? And remember, we discovered, first of all, as we just read, the message itself is the one that Jesus gave to the seventh church in the book of Revelation. There's seven churches, the seventh one, the message to the Laodicean church. We discovered it's Jesus' message, and to our surprise, we found out who does the shaking. The message does the shaking by the people who believe it and preach it. And by the way, I should say this, the people who live it and the people who believe it and the people who preach it. All three. Not one or two, but all three. So this is part one, part two, and part three. And now we're going to look at part three, the shaking of Laodicea, the need of the shaking. I give you this illustration with fear and trembling, but I felt impressed, so I'm going to do it. I will never forget, it was my sophomore or junior year in college, and it was a Sunday morning about 8 o'clock when there suddenly became a pounding on the door in the dorm room. And because of the kind of person I was and the school I chose, people don't knock on students' dorm rooms at either 8 o'clock on a Saturday or Sunday morning. You don't do it. And I remember lifting up my head in the stupor that it was in, figuring out what was going on, somebody knocking on the door. And I'm ashamed to say a string of blue epitaphs streamed out of my mouth at the person who would do such a thing as to knock on the dorm room door. And by the way, it turned out that the night before, the person I had gone with, one of the fellow fraternity brothers, invited me to stay in his room because his roommate was gone and my roommate was gone. And so I was in his top bunk and he was in the bottom bunk below when I did this. 2 days later, he came to me and he said, "My mother called me and she is very angry." And I said, "Well, what's she angry about?" She said, "Son, I didn't know that you had such horrible language." And I'm hoping, but I never did ask him. I'm assuming he said, "Well, Mom, that wasn't me. That was this guy who was staying with me." She said, "Well, I want you to know it was the minister of the Methodist Church coming to wake you up so that you could go to church at my request." And the language that was used against him, he said, "I am never going back there again." I did not know who was knocking at the door. And this is the very reason there needs to be a shaking. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Revelation, the 3rd chapter, and you'll see how this ties in. Revelation, the 3rd chapter, we're going to begin reading at verse 14. And remember, we're going to identify the need of the shaking. Why is there a need of a shaking? Why does God have to do this to the church before He can pour out the latter rain? So take your Bibles. Turn to Revelation 13. Children, take your Bibles. Open them to Revelation 3. I want you to follow along as I read. In fact, I only have 4 verses to read, children. And I want you to listen as well as follow along in your Bible so that you may receive a double blessing as we look at this important topic, part 3, the need of the shaking. Okay, you have your Bibles open, say amen. Amen. And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing, and knowest not that I am wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." I'm done. Now I want you to look, if you would, at verse 15. And what does it say? It says here, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot." Right? But he says, "I would that thou wast cold or hot." And then in verse 16 he said, "But because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you." That's what the word is, vomit. The only place in the New Testament this word is used. "I will vomit you out of my mouth." So look at it. He says, "You're not cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot." And by the way, now we know what cold or hot means. I mean, if you're not cold, you're not hot, then you are what? Lukewarm. And then he said, "Because you're not, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Now, what's the problem? Why is there a need of shaking? Why is there a need of shaking? Because you're lukewarm, right? Right? Absolutely not. I want you to know you're wrong. It isn't because you're lukewarm. I got to calm down here. I want you to look closely at verse 17, folks. This is the whole crux of it. I'm almost done with the sermon. You say you're rich and increased with goods and need of nothing, but you don't know. What is the real problem? Is it lukewarmness? What is it? You don't know. You don't know your condition. You don't even know you're lukewarm. You have no clue. I'm sorry. We have no clue. Here's the letter to the seventh and last church. And here's what he says about it. He says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. But because you are cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You're lukewarm. And the reason I'm going to do it is because you don't know. Knowest not. That is the problem. A lack of spiritual discernment. Lukewarm means you have no clue. In fact, look at the Greek word. Now, believe it or not, that's in Greek, English Greek, it would be E-I-D-O. But the E-I is a long I, so it's Ido. Ido. The Greek word means to see, to perceive, notice, discern, discover, to know, get knowledge of understanding, or understand, perceive. That's what the word means. It is used 665 times in the New Testament, and 68 of those are in the book of Revelation, and most of those are, I saw the New Jerusalem, I saw the holy city, I saw the beast, I saw the woman riding on. But in a number of those places, a fewer number, the word Ido means you either know or you don't know. This is the worst curse of the church. This is why the message was written to the Laodicean church. Because they would come in the last days to the position of not knowing their true condition. Let that sink in. Is it possible that we could not know our true condition? Have any of you worked with an alcoholic? What's the very first step for an alcoholic to be able to receive any treatment at all? To admit they have a problem. What is the hardest step for them to take? To admit they have a problem. Goes for drug addiction, anything else. Guess what, folks? We are a bunch of alcoholics. We're a bunch of drug addicts. Whatever you want to call it. Why? Because we're just as cueless as they are. Think about that. I got to ask you, doesn't this shake you up a little bit? Hey, is it possible while you sit there in your Seventh-day Adventist piousness, is it possible there could be something you're not even recognizing, acknowledging? What's the fault of the Laodicean church? They don't know. This really shook me up. By the way, part four is the solution to the shaking. The solution to this not knowing. I'm really excited, but I'm not there yet. This is part three. We don't know. We don't know. I want to give you an example, if you don't mind. See if this helps a little bit, because it actually relates. Who are these? The five wise virgins. How do you know they're wise? They have fire in their lamp, but what are they doing? sleeping. What is the problem with the virgins, the five foolish ones especially? What did it turn out their problem was? And at first, most people, except you're too Bible literate here, most people would say, well, they're sleeping. That isn't the problem. Yeah, the problem is when the announcement comes, behold, the bridegroom comes, and suddenly they wake up out of their lethargy, and suddenly they come to their senses, and suddenly their awareness is heightened, and suddenly they realize it's all here. Five of them have oil, and five of them don't, and the problem isn't the sleeping, the problem is the oil. The problem is the oil. And of course you know that five go in and five can't go in. And when they come back and they want in the door, something happens to them. Take a look, if you would, at Matthew the 25th chapter, verse 12. Matthew 25, verse 12. Now, please do not, as you're turning to Matthew 25, verse 12, please do not, because of the simplicity of this sermon, miss the depth of it. Please do not miss how all of us are affected by the Laodicean church. It says you think that you're... It literally says that you think you're rich and increased with goods. It doesn't say some of you, most of you, a few of you, it says you think. That includes me. And you don't know, it says. So notice, what's the problem with the virgins? 25:12. I'm going to do 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said to them, you are sleeping. No. You were lukewarm. No. He said, verily, verily, I say to you, I don't know you. I do. That same word, Greek word, I do. He said, I don't know you. A clue on the remedy to this shaking problem of not knowing. I don't know you. Depart from me to outer darkness, he said to them. The issue is knowing or not knowing. Take a look at Luke 12. Since it's so much fun to turn your Bibles and find related texts, go to Luke 12, 25, 26, 27. And again, children, you're not off the hook here. You work your Bibles. You learn how to find these passages. Turn to them. And as I read, you listen to them. If you can't read, if you read, you read them yourself. See what it says here. Luke 13. Did I say 12? When I looked and it was the wrong text, I about panicked. 13, I was at 12. Here's what it says. By the way, this is entering at the straight gate. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, he begins to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto them, I know you not whence ye are. There's that same Greek word. Verse 26, then shall ye begin to say, hey, wait a minute, we ate and drank in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Verse 27, but he will, and by the way, repeat. Doesn't say that there. To me, it's he'll repeat. I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Perhaps from me, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. He doesn't know us. Could it be that the Laodicean church, what they don't know is they don't know Jesus, but they have all the truth? Is it possible? By the way, I want you to see here in closing, Revelation 2:2, 2:9, 2:13, 2:19, 3:1, 3:8, and 3:15. Jesus says, I know thy works. But in the only church, the Laodicean, it says, but you do not know. So why is there a need of a shaking? Because we don't know. Let me show you here a quote. Great Controversy 5:18. And I have an invitation for you. Again, Satan sees the Lord's servants burdened because of the what? That enshrouds the people. He hears their earnest prayer for divine grace and power to break the spell of indifference, carelessness, and indolence. Then with renewed zeal, he plies his art. Again, I see Satan sees the Lord's servant's burden because of the spiritual darkness that enshrouds the who? The people. What did we just find out the problem with Laodicea is? They don't know. By the way, do you know that this quote suggests that there are servants of the Lord who are burdened because they recognize this fact? Isn't that what it says? And because they recognize this fact, what do? They pray, earnest prayer, for divine grace and power to break the spell of indifference, carelessness, and indolence that lie in the heart of the Laodicean church. And folks, I've got bad news for you. And the end result of that effort is, with renewed zeal, Satan goes back to work because he's mad now. For somebody's got a clue. And if they get the word out, he's in big trouble. So he's going to do everything he can to make sure the people stay what? In spiritual darkness. Now folks, here's how I'm done. I want to invite you tonight in this sanctuary, not in the fellowship. I want 100 people here tonight at 5 o'clock. I got a half a sheet of paper where I'll share this quote, but some other quotes before it, and I will show you exactly what I and some of the elders do on Friday morning in this church and on Sabbath morning before you even get here, and how we work against Satan and his efforts to keep us in spiritual darkness. If you will come, I will share that with you, and you will see how you can awaken yourself through an honest, intelligent prayer strategy to not be not knowing. I'm telling you, I want 100 people here tonight. I got a half a sheet of paper. It will take no more than 1 hour. And every time I've said that, it's taken 1 hour. Because if I'm not going to take 1 hour, I'm not going to say it. And I will show you exactly what we do before you get to this church. And why we do that. And suddenly lights will go on in your mind like never before. And I promise you this will change your prayer strategy. And you'll see how you can approach some of the problems you're having or some of the fears, anxieties, or situations you're facing. But you've got to be here tonight at 5 o'clock. Now, the weather is now my kind of weather. Okay? And we love to go for our Sabbath afternoon walk if we don't go to bed. But I want you to know, I want you to forego this afternoon and be here at 5 o'clock. I want the young adults here. I want the youth here. I want the children here too. They need to know what's going on around us, this is how we break out of our I don't know spiritual darkness that we're all in. I want 100 people. 5 o'clock. You will walk out that door at 6 if you're willing to get up and leave. I didn't mean that. I will be done at 6 o'clock. But if you choose to stay and pray a little longer yourself, that could possibly happen. But it won't be because I'm telling you to stay. It is time that we wake up to the reality of what's happening to us individually and collectively as a church, so that we can counter what's going on. Our children need to know this. 5 o'clock, this sanctuary, 100 people. Father in heaven, I pray for your Spirit to convict us of our need, even though we may have plans. And I thank you that you chose this church to reveal a deep secret that no one ever shared with me before, that has now come to absolute no, that's beginning to come to fruition, that we clearly see what we need to do in order to remove the obstacles so that the spiritual darkness can be lifted. So, Father, bring us back at 5. And I know you reward us in a way you never did before. So blessed to this end, and thank you, you never fail, because we pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.